Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Good Samaritan. My guess is that most people in the world today who are even familiar with that title or with that concept don't even know it comes from the Bible. But even those who do don't usually understand the point of Jesus' parable. To most people, this parable is just a nice reminder that it's good to do a deed of kindness to a stranger in need once in a while. But if that's all you come away with, you've really missed the point. You have to read this parable in context, as with all of Scripture. You see, the point of this parable was to show that expert in the law who questioned Jesus that day, and all who hear this parable still today, that they're doomed if they rely on doing good to earn them a place in heaven. The Good Samaritan gives us just a glimpse, just a tiny picture and example of the mercy and love God expects to see from each of us toward our neighbor, not to mention the love and commitment that we owe to God Himself. But He hasn't found it in us. And so each of us, like a beaten and bloodied man lying half dead on the side of the road, is in dire need of a heavenly Good Samaritan to come to our aid, because no one else can or will, especially the law of Moses. An expert in the law, that is, in the Old Testament law, the first five books of the Bible, really, from Genesis through Deuteronomy, stood up not to ask Jesus an innocent question, but to test him, we're told. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And right away, if you're paying attention, you see a big problem with his question. What must you do to inherit anything? An inheritance isn't given for doing things. It's given because of the relationship that exists between two people, usually family, so that when the one dies, the other receives what the deceased has left to him as an inheritance. Now, the expert in the law was actually right to use the word inheritance, because as St. Paul made clear in today's epistle from Galatians chapter 3, it was an inheritance that God promised to Abraham and to his seed, and that seed of Abraham is Christ. It was a testament God made with Abraham, like a last will and testament which has heirs and an inheritance where the one party gives something away to the other. And eternal life is part of that testament God made with Abraham and with his seed, the promise God made to Abraham to be God to him and his seed forever, even after death. But the expert in the law got confused. He confused that promise God made with Abraham, which was more like a testament, and the law covenant that God made with Israel on Mount Sinai, which is more like a covenant established more as a bargain where each party does his part. Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" Jesus was giving the man the opportunity to cite the promise God made to Abraham in the first book of the law in Genesis, but instead, the man cited a portion of the covenant from Mount Sinai quoted in the book of Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's a really good summary of the whole moral law. Complete and utter devotion to God from the heart and devotion to one's neighbor, doing to others what you would have them do to you. That has always been God's will for mankind since the Garden of Eden. And that will of God was codified, written down, and agreed upon by the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, where they agreed, one, this is good and right, and two, we will do it. All the other laws proclaimed by Moses were examples of putting this law into practice. So, since the expert in the law wanted to focus on God's moral commands, and since he believed that keeping those commands was the way to inherit eternal life, Jesus went along with him. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's your end of the bargain. That's what you have to do to inherit eternal life, if you can get it by doing something. But if you do, if you gain eternal life by doing, then there's always the follow-up question, and how do I know if I've done enough? How do I know if I've loved the Lord enough, or if I've loved my neighbor as myself, as I must? See, the expert in the law was left in doubt. He understood that his own law, the law that he loved so much, only made his salvation more doubtful. And so he tried to justify himself. He asked, "And who is my neighbor?" You see what he was getting at, don't you? If he can narrow down the list of people that he is supposed to, commanded to, love as himself, then maybe he can at least pretend that he's done it. But if his neighbor includes too many people on that list, then he knows he's doomed. So Jesus answers his question with the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. A priest came along, saw him, and offered no help. A Levite, one of the servants in the temple in Jerusalem, passed by, saw him, and offered no help. Then came along a Samaritan from Samaria, which is the territory just north of Judea, just north of Jerusalem. The Samaritans were part Jewish in their bloodline, but part Gentile, and their religion was a mixture, a bad mixture of Judaism and paganism, and the Jews despised them and treated them badly. But this Samaritan came along, and when he saw that man lying by the side of the road injured, he went right over to him. He offered every sort of help to him that you could think of, including taking him to an inn, caring for him overnight, and then leaving him in the care of the innkeeper, promising to pay for his expenses when he returned from his journey. Then Jesus turns to the expert in the law and asks, "Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy to him." Mercy, which is nothing but a form of love. Mercy and love were at the heart of all of God's commandments. And if you read the Gospels, you know that the Pharisees and the experts in the law were characteristically low on mercy. They may have kept God's commandments externally and performed all the rites and rituals they were supposed to perform, but they were cruel and condescending to their fellow Israelites, not merciful. You can think of all the examples of how angry they got when Jesus would help a man, would heal a man on the Sabbath, because they had no mercy in their heart toward their fellow man. And so with one parable, Jesus turned this man's religion upside down, forcing him to look at what the law actually demanded of him: mercy and love toward everyone he encountered on his earthly journey. And then Jesus spoke those terrifying words, "Go and do likewise." What must you do to inherit eternal life? Well, this is what the law of God demands. If you would be saved by that law covenant, by doing your part to obey God's commands, while God does his part then to pay you the wages of eternal life, then you must go and do as the Good Samaritan did, showing mercy at every turn, in every way, with every person, at every opportunity. Not just for injured strangers that you happen to come across, but for your parents, for your children, for your husband or wife, for your co-workers, for your friends and acquaintances, for your fellow citizens whom you encounter day after day after day. Mercy, selfless love, love that's just like the kind of love you would have others show you. And that's just what God would have you do toward your neighbor. Again, we haven't even touched on the things you owe to God: to fear, love, and trust in him above all things, to honor his name and his word above all things. It's terrifying, isn't it? It should be if you're honest with yourself, and that's the point. In fact, that's always been the point of the law: to reveal the sin that already lives inside of each of us. As St. Paul wrote in the epistle, the law was added for the sake of transgressions. That is, that the Israelites and that all people might have God's will spelled out for them so that they could see just how much they've transgressed it. Because sin is there in your heart and in your being, whether you can see it or not. The law simply reveals it for what it is. And then, once you've been beaten to a pulp by the law, once it's left you for dead on the side of the road, unable to lift a finger to help yourself, along comes this Samaritan, the Son of God, true God and true man, though despised by men. He comes along with the very genuine, heartfelt mercy and compassion that he demands of each of us, because he made us originally in his image and wanted us to be like him. But now, having come as a man, the Lord Jesus shows this mercy, not only as our example, but first and foremost as our substitute. He gave his life on the cross for us out of mercy, as the payment for our sins, as that which we needed to bandage our wounds. He began to heal us through holy baptism, where he forgave us our sins and gave us his Holy Spirit and made us heirs of eternal life, heirs who will inherit eternal life, not by doing, but by believing in the Lord Jesus, who did everything we were supposed to do for us because we couldn't. And then, before he ascended into heaven, he put believers in the charge of innkeepers, the ministers whom he has called into his church, to keep tending to the wounded, to keep us on the narrow path that leads to eternal life, to spur us on to love and good works. Because while we received the forgiveness of our sins in baptism and live now under God's grace as believers, we are not yet what we should be, what God is growing us into: truly good Samaritans, whose hearts are as full of mercy for our neighbor as the heart of Jesus himself was and is. We call that growing sanctification, the Holy Spirit's ongoing work of turning believers into the image of Jesus. So the same "go and do likewise" that first was intended to strike terror into the heart of sinners becomes, for the believer, our marching orders to go and be like Jesus. It begins in the heart. Hearts that have been renewed and recreated by God's mercy and grace toward us in Christ. And then it extends to our hands and to our whole life. Go and do likewise. Go and walk in the footsteps of Jesus with mercy toward your neighbor, toward everyone whom God places next to you on your path through life, until he determines that your time here is done and he brings you at last into the eternal life that all who persevere in the faith will inherit, not by doing good works under the Old Testament, but by believing in Christ Jesus, who has made us co-heirs with him in the New Testament in his blood. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.